Money. We all need it. We all use it. But if you had a dollar for everything you don't know about the currency you carry around, well, you'd have more than you think. The paper money and coins in circulation have an interesting history that reveals some quirks about our country. Today, Kingdom Advisors President Rob West fills us in on the background of our currency, and then we'll take your calls on any financial topic at 800-525-7000. 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore. Fun facts about money next on MoneyWise Live. Hi, Rob. So today's first few minutes are going to be interesting and fun, I think. Did you know that they're trying to figure out what to call the money we'll use in space someday? Unfortunately,
oh, really?
Rob. Yeah. Unfortunately, Starbucks is already taken.
I see what you did there. But unlike your pun, Steve, we're actually going to reveal some things about money that are actually true in this broadcast today.
That's right. Most of them. No, all of them. All of them. Okay, fine. Let's get started then. What's first?
Well, let's start with busting the myth that the pyramid on the back of the $1 bill is part of some grand Illuminati conspiracy. It's actually part of the U.S. Capitol, or excuse me, the U.S. official seal, and is supposed to represent permanency. You see, the founders were hoping that the U.S. would be around for a while.
Okay. All right. So no deep, dark secret about the pyramid there.
That's right.
Another conspiracy theory bites the dust, huh?
I'm afraid so. And speaking of secret, a lot of people wonder why the Secret Service is a part of the Treasury Department and actually hunts down counterfeiters.
And why is that, sir?
Well, that's because that's what the Secret Service was first organized to do back in the 1860s. It wasn't until the assassination of William McKinley in 1901 that Congress asked the Secret Service to also protect the president.
I didn't know that. All right. Well, this is interesting and fun. What's next?
Well, would you believe that more monopoly money is printed each year than actual currency?
No, that's a little hard to believe.
It's
really
true. The U.S. Bureau of Engraving and Printing rolls out about 975 million in new bills each year, mostly to replace old ones that have worn out. But according to Parker Brothers, the company that makes the popular board game, they print about $30 billion a year in monopoly money.
And that's who the Secret Service needs to be checking into. Parker Brothers,
right.
All along, who knew? What else?
Well, the average paper currency can be folded roughly, get this, 4,000 times before it tears down the middle and gets sent to the shredder.
What?
And surprisingly, it doesn't take long for that to happen. The average lifespan of a dollar bill is only 22 months. Isn't that interesting?
I've known them to last far less time in my pocket, but let's not
yes.
go there. All right, what's next?
Well, here's one that you probably haven't had in your pocket. There actually is a $10,000 bill. Now, they're not printed anymore. The largest denomination printed these days is the $100 bill, but $500, $1,000, $5,000, and $10,000 notes were printed until 1969 when they were discontinued for lack of use. The good news, Steve, is that you can, well, if you get a $10,000 bill in your change, it's still legal tender.
I'm going to start watching a lot closer. I'm surprised they discontinued the $500 bill. Not that I ever have need of one, but I don't know. You'd think somewhere out there some big spender might want it, but just the $100 bill, okay? All right, what's another fun fact?
Well, how about a $2 bill is actually worth? Are you ready for this?
Yep.
$2. Here's what where some folks get confused. They're not what you'd call rare, but since they're less common than other denominations in circulation, people sometimes think they're collectible. Well, you can collect them all you want, but they're still just worth $2.
Actually, I have a couple, and like lots of grandparents, they save them to pass them on to their grandchildren, who will no doubt immediately try to spend them. Okay. Any fun facts about coins?
Sure, yeah. Have you ever wondered why some coins have smooth edges and others have ridges? Well, the technical term is reeds, by the way. Once upon a time, dimes, quarters, and 50-cent pieces were actually made with precious metals, but unscrupulous individuals would shave off the edges and collect the gold and silver. So the U.S. Mint started putting the ridges on the coin so you could tell if one had been shaved. Of course, today, coins coins are made with alloys and don't contain gold and silver, but they've kept the ridges on dimes, quarters, and 50-cent pieces to aid the visually impaired. Most to tell pennies and dimes apart since they're roughly the same size. Pennies and nickels, by the way, Steve, never contained gold or silver, so they never needed the ridges.
We'll be right back after this.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
If you're investing for retirement or any other goal, you may be wondering if it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market. Sound Mind Investing has a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians learn to be wise and faithful stewards in the area of investing. Profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market at soundmindinvesting.org.
You've wanted to attend Founders Week, the largest and longest-running annual Bible conference, but you haven't been able to get there. Well, this year you can be there, because Founders Week will be completely digital, February 2nd through the 5th. Go to foundersweek.org for a list of sessions, speakers, and topics. See all the ways that you can participate, including sign language and Spanish language live streams. Founders Week, February 2nd through the 5th. Learn more at foundersweek.org.
It's been lingering in your mind for the past few months. Is it time to move on from my current job? Maybe you're feeling drawn to ministry. Here's a thought. How about investing in the mission of Moody Bible Institute in Chicago? Moody is all about teaching students the Word of God and preparing them for service. But that mission also involves Moody's sister ministries like broadcasting and publishing. Help make an impact in ministry at Moody. Check out all of the career opportunities at moodyjobs.org. That's moodyjobs.org.
Siri, I need some advice.
What's up?
I have questions about planning for retirement, long-term care insurance. I don't know where to start.
It sounds like you need the MoneyWise app. It's a free app that will help you find those answers and more.
Really?
Sure thing. You can ask your questions within the app and access helpful articles and MoneyWise podcasts.
Sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Okay, searching for MoneyWise on the App Store. Learn more at app.moneywise.org.
Hey, and you're thinking, he didn't give the phone number. You're right, I dropped the ball. I apologize. Here's the phone number if you'd like to get in today to speak with Rob West about anything financial. Maybe he'll tell you about his nickel and Indian penny collections. 800-525-7000. 800-525-7000. If you have any sort of question, conundrum, concern that involves money, finances, let's talk about it from the Bible's perspective, always. 800-525-7000. Now, Rob, we were just about ready to put a bow on it today, but maybe one more thing for us?
Well, let me just say our last fun fact about money is the one we hope our listeners know, and it's that the Bible contains over 2,300 verses related to money or possessions, more than just about any other topic. Now, why is that? Well, it's because God knew that the love of money or the mishandling of it are great sources of trouble for his people. Now, it's not money is the root of all evil, it's the love of money. So it's about our heart, posture, and attitude. And what we need to take away, Steve, is that his word is filled with examples of how we should use it wisely for his purposes. Remember, we say this often, money is a tool to accomplish God's purposes. It's not an end. It's a means to an end. And it's most effective when it's used as a mean to an end that's something other than you. When we're outward focused with an eternal perspective, that's when we really put money in its proper place.
And if we can help you do that today, apply money and biblical principles about money to your life, again, give us a call. We'd love to chat. We have open lines available at 800-525-7000. Speaking of Bible verses about money and principles in the Bible, our Facebook question today is, what is your go-to Bible verse about money? And as Stuart says, Proverbs 30 is my favorite. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me. And you have one for us, Rob?
I do. Laureen, who's a faithful contributor to our Facebook page, said really she loves Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. And then Sandy followed that up with Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. So it is interesting to see the themes emerging here from our listeners.
Amen. And if you'd like to check on our Facebook question of the day, you can do it just about every day. We have that up on our website, moneywiselive.org. No, I just made a mistake. It's not on our website. It's on our Facebook site. And again, that's MoneyWise. And if you're on Facebook or any of the other primary social media areas, you'll find that information. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. I think we have a call from Lynn in South Elgin, Illinois, but I'm tapping on my screen. You know, one thing I've learned about computers is that when you hit them, like with a hammer or something like that, it often doesn't help, as in the old days when you just gave something a whack with a hammer and then you used a bigger hammer and then it started working. But
it's not Lynn, like a lawnmower. It's a little different.
That's right. Hey, Len, are you there with us today, sir?
Yes, I am, and I'm very near a hammer.
Oh, boy.
I'm about to retire. I have a 457 plan through my employer, and I also have another IRA from another job, and I think I should probably combine the two, and I'm not sure which would be the advantage, to go towards the IRA with Vanguard or condense into the 457.
Yeah. So you're separating from your employer where the 457 was originated. Is that right? As you retire?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you would not be able to move the IRA typically into that 457. You certainly wouldn't be able to after you separate. So that's going to need to stay where it is. And I generally recommend that as you retire and separate from the company or organization, you do consolidate into one account, and the IRA would be the place to do it. Lynn, the reason why you'd want to do that, several. Number one, as soon as you get into the IRA, you have unlimited investment options. You have more control over how it's managed, even bringing someone on to manage it for you. The fee structure in terms of the investment, but also the professionals that you enlist on your behalf to help make these decisions if you decide to do that. Beyond that, I think there are some efficiencies just in terms of the management of the funds. If it's all in one account, you can typically get access to more investments because some of them have certain minimums, although the balances we're talking about after a lifetime of savings probably wouldn't matter. You should have enough accumulated anyway. But also in terms of the management of the portfolio. So if the money is all in one place, you can make sure there's not unintended duplication of investments that might cause you to not be properly diversified. And then there's just the simplicity of the oversight. You've got one statement coming in as opposed to two and one account that's being managed. So I like the idea for a similar or the same account type, getting it all in one place just because of those efficiencies and economies of scale. The last thing I would mention is that typically you'll have breakpoints on the fee structure if you hire an investment professional as you reach certain asset levels, assets under management. And so by having it all in under that advisor's roof, so to speak, in one account, is going to make sure that you get the most competitive pricing from that particular professional as well. So I think that's going to be in your best interest as you move into this next season of life in retirement. Does that answer your question, though, or was it something else specific you were looking for?
Yes, it does. And is a 457 quite a bit like an IRA?
Oh, yeah. Both tax-deferred retirement vehicles. So it, you know, acts from a tax treatment standpoint as almost the same because it is tax-deferred, meaning the money goes in on a pre-tax basis, then it's invested, grows tax-deferred, and then it's treated as income when it comes out. The reason it's a 457 and not a 401k is just because it's for a governmental or certain non-governmental employers in the U.S. Do you work for the federal government?
I actually work for a local municipality.
Local municipality. Okay. Yeah. So the 457 is just the governmental equivalent to a 401k or in the nonprofit world, a 403b. But all of those really from a tax standpoint are treated equally with the IRA.
Lanham, we're glad you called and got through today. Thank you very much, sir. Hope that helps. Cleveland, Ohio. Hi, Debbie. You're on with Rob West.
Thank you, Rob West. My question, it is so funny, it's similar to his. I have had an annuity with my insurance company since 2013. I sent $25 once a month to that annuity, and I recently put out $10,000 that I needed to use. But they're giving me the option of returning that money within 60 days without penalty. Now, yeah. I heard you tell him he should just keep it in one. And my son set up a Schwab, IRA, a Roth Schwab, because I'm retiring from the United States Postal Service, and I have like almost $90,000 to go in there, 80, because I'm determined to return my $10,000 since I realized that I can't add to that anymore because I won't be working. That has to be money that you worked for. So, so that's my. So I was asking you kind of his question, but it's not the same.
Yes. So specifically, the money you took it from your retirement account, or you took it from an annuity at an insurance company.
It's an IRA, but my understanding is that it's an annuity.
Okay, so it's an annuity. So it's an insurance annuity that's also an IRA, and that's where you took the withdrawal from, and you're looking at putting it back in. Is that right?
Yes.
And are you looking to move this money out of the annuity into an IRA that allows you to invest in other types of investments?
No, never.
Okay.
I mean, how can I, 2013, this is 21, $10,000, $25 a month. I just thought that was great. So somebody's handling it good because it's not me. But I just am afraid to kind of take it. And I have enough money where I can put my money in the Roth Schwab, and my son and whoever, a professional, they can work it out for me. Because I'm 69, you know what I'm saying? You always say we're going to live to be 85. Well, my daddy was 91. My mom was 90. But I think I've done pretty good with my money.
It sounds like you have, Debbie. Well, I want to make sure I answer your question. I would agree. Go ahead and put that money back in because we don't want that to be taxable to you, and let it just continue to grow as it has been. But specifically, what else were you looking to try to answer today?
Basically, that was it. I didn't know how to. I haven't asked the post office to give me my TSP, because I didn't know I was going to ask them, but what do you do?
Yes.
Call them and say, send my money to Michael Schwab. I have the account number and everything.
Yeah, so you can do what's called a direct rollover from the thrift savings plan to an IRA, and that's what you're going to want to do. So you'll want to call the post office, tell them that as you retire, you're looking to do a direct rollover of the TSP to an IRA, and they'll tell you exactly how to do that, what paperwork is necessary, and then you just need to decide whether it's your son or somebody else who's going to give professional oversight to these assets to make sure that they're invested in a way that's appropriate for you so you can protect the money, but also see some growth over time.
Mm. Debbie, sounds like you're heading in the right direction, and we appreciate your phone call today and your many, many years of service to the U.S. Postal Service. You're listening to Money Wise with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. We're here to take your calls and questions today. Anything financial, 800-525-7000. It's a joy speaking with you, so give us a call right now.
Many people
people adopt an attitude toward marriage and finances that it'll all work out somehow. But sadly, it often doesn't. Financial woes can devastate a marriage, but there is a better way. God's Way. Money and Marriage God's Way by Howard Dayton will help you discover God's approach to growing your finances, strengthening your relationship with your mate, and cultivating godly joy. Money and Marriage God's Way is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
I think perhaps if we knew we were coming into a lesson on sanctification, if we understood a little of what the concept was about, we would not necessarily come running in here as we might to learn about Jehovah Hosseinu, the Lord our Maker. Something about the heavy burden of sanctification. We already know this is about to get in our business. You understand what I'm saying to you? We already know it's going to have something to do with something that lives itself out in action. So it starts to make us nervous from the very beginning. But I want you to see something from the onset. The very first mention of holiness is in the context of blessing. Please don't miss it. Please don't miss it. Because he says, "And God blessed the seventh day and he made it holy." That seventh day had a blessing on it the other days did not have. The blessing of the sanctification of that day. And what I want to suggest to you is this, before we embark on seeing all this could mean to us in the limited time we have today. You need to understand with me that even though it carries some pretty heavy duty responsibility, this is your blessing. This is your blessing. The blessing of that we are sanctified in him, those of us who know Christ as Savior, is our blessing.
You've been listening to A Quick Word with Beth Moore. Beth is excited to announce, now that faith has come, a study of Galatians is available as an online experience or as a printed workbook edition. Grab your copy today at bethmoore.org. Keep listening for another Quick Word with Beth Moore.
Good to have you aboard today. It's MoneyWise Live. And if you'd like some basic help with your money and your finances, basic things like budgeting, developing a spending plan, getting out of debt, developing an emergency fund, giving, saving, things like that, you might want to connect with a certified budget coach, and you can do that when you visit our website. It's moneywiselive.org. Scroll to the bottom of the page, and you'll see a line there that says connect with a coach, and you can connect with someone who's well-trained and certified by us, and they can help you with some of these basic things. Again, moneywiselive.org. Scroll to the bottom, middle of the page, and you'll see connect with a coach. Sarah is in Texas, and how can we help you, Sarah?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, sorry. I was excited to hear that y'all have an app.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, to get the most out of the MoneyWise app, should you plan on being on the app daily, weekly, or would just monthly still be effective?
Yeah, you know, Sarah, we've designed it so that it's not overly complicated, fairly simple to use, and it really can be adapted to whatever rhythm you want to establish. Now, you know, the extent to which an envelope system is going to be highly effective for you, I would expect you to be in it several times a month, because you would be, it was in particular, checking the balances on your discretionary envelope. So I'm thinking things like, you know, whether it's gifts or eating out or groceries or clothes for certain members of the family. I mean, as you're out kind of doing your thing throughout the month, just being able to pull it up on your phone or your tablet and check it quickly to see, where do I stand there? And maybe we shouldn't be eating out this weekend like we had planned because we're out of money. And so we'll, buckle down at home and wait till next month kind of thing. I mean, that's where it's most effective. And then, you know, whether you have a weekly or a monthly money date with your spouse, I think pulling it out then would also be really helpful. But it doesn't need to, be terribly time consuming. It's not like you have to be in it every day. And the beautiful part, Sarah, is we've really designed it so that once it's set up, and by the way, there's a web app too, there, so you can use your desktop to get it all set up rather than inputting everything on your phone, including all of your different envelopes. But we've set it up so that all of it gets automated if you're a MoneyWise Pro subscription. So basically, you'd connect it to your financial accounts, all of your transactions would be downloaded automatically, and the system will learn where certain transactions go, which envelopes. So as things are being downloaded all the time, they're automatically being placed into your envelopes. And then when you're funding your envelopes, that can be automated as well and timed to your paychecks. So once all that's in place, it's just kind of doing its thing in the background. You're getting paid, your envelopes are being funded, you're spending money on your credit card or debit card, those transactions are coming down. It's taking that away from the envelope balances in each category. And so at any given time when you open it, you know exactly where you stand in each one of your envelopes. But in terms of the frequency, that's really up to you in terms of how much you want to be in there and how closely you want to stay on top of these envelope balances. Does that make sense?
Yes, it sure does. I'm excited to give it a try.
Good. Well, hey, every week we have some workshops that are free for you to jump in, and our team will teach you how to use it and answer your questions face-to-face using a Zoom meeting. So make sure you take advantage of those workshops. And by the way, anybody listening who doesn't have the MoneyWise app, go get it now. It's in your app store. Just search for MoneyWise Biblical Finance when you go to the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. Again, MoneyWise Biblical Finance in your app store or on the web at app.moneywise.com.
Sarah, we're glad you called today. We wish you the best with that. Thanks very much. So, Rob, so that I understand better, there's the standard MoneyWise app, and then there's the pro version, the big leagues version. I mean, what's going on there?
Yeah, the basic app allows you to do all of the things you want to do to get your envelope system set up and track it manually. It's just when you want to connect to your accounts, download it automatically, and automatically fund your envelopes, plus create some new custom envelopes. That requires the pro subscription, which is only $5.99 a month.
Okay. You can find out more when you visit MoneyWiseLive.org. More about who we are, what we do, the app, and our other resources. 800-525-7000. Call now. Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Hospitality. Dustin Willis and Brandon Clemens say it's the simplest way to change the world. Gospel-centered hospitality makes a powerful witnessing statement as we open our lives and homes to others. The simplest way to change the world will show you how you can be hospitable even if you don't have the space for it. Most people are more likely to step into a living room than a sanctuary, so why not read The Simplest Way to Change the World? More at moodypublishers.com.
Do you feel stuck? Are you tired of going through the motions of faith? Do you want to make real progress in your life but not know where to start? How to Grow is a book to help you grow spiritually and help others grow as well. We often see the gospel as a starting point of the Christian life, rather than the main point of all life. How to Grow, a new book by Daryl Dash, available at moodypublishers.org. That's moodypublishers.org.
Would you like your life to be infused with joy? Would you like to interject an eternal dimension into even the most ordinary day? Author Randy Alcorn says you can when you discover the Treasure Principle. In a concise, power-packed style, this newly revised and updated book offers a six-step plan to finding the immediate pleasure and eternal rewards of the Treasure Principle. And once you discover it, life will never look the same. The Treasure Principle is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The House will try to push the Vice President and Cabinet to remove President Trump from office under the 25th Amendment. Meanwhile, impeachment proceedings are set for Wednesday. The FBI and Department of Justice addressing their law enforcement efforts in the wake of last week's deadly breach at the U.S. Capitol building, which claimed five lives. Law enforcement still asking for the public's help to identify those who participated in the breach. Former Michigan Governor Rick Snyder, his health director, and other ex-officials have been told they're being charged after a new investigation of the Flint water scandal. The U.S. government's plans to carry out the first execution of a female inmate in nearly seven decades are now on hold. Stocks shook off a midday slide and ended broadly higher. The Dow gained 60 points, the NASDAQ ahead 36. This is SRN News.
Welcome back to MoneyWise Live. Lest I confused you just before the break. Again, if you're wanting to check out the MoneyWise app, you can visit Apple app, the Apple App Store, wherever you download any there, or Google Play. And then if you want to go directly to our website for the app, it's app.moneywise.org, app.moneywise.org. Zion, Illinois, Charnay, thanks for your long-suffering patience there. How can we help you?
Hi, guys. Listen, I'm calling because I'm 62 years old, approaching retirement, I guess, in the next 5 years. I own a home with two mortgages. I started out with that because it was a great program that had people with not that big of a price range to buy a house to enable them to buy one. So I have one at 4%, one at 5.25%. I want to, since I had the home, I've not been able to, pull equity out of nothing to do any improvements on my home. So everything I've done with cash. I think towards retirement, I'd like to buy a two-family home where it would enable me to not have to pay a mortgage but rely on my tenant to pay it. Do you think this is a wise idea? Sell this house, get into something that would create some income, and I won't have to pay the mortgage.
Yeah, let me ask you. I mean, I'm certainly not against that, and I like the idea of you diversifying into real estate and creating an income stream as long as you know what you're getting into. You're not overextending yourself financially, and you're willing to do the work that goes along with it to deal with the maintenance issues. Now, it's helpful that it's right next door, but dealing with the maintenance issues, marketing it, making sure it stays rented. Let's start with the financial side, Charnay. How much do you think you could sell your current home for?
Well, I owe about 82, and I think I can get 140 for it.
Okay. And have you done any research on what you would need to spend for this duplex?
Well, about two.
About 200,000.
Where I'm at, 200,000, 250
okay.
tops.
All right. Mm-hmm. So let's say you found something for $200,000 and you've got $60,000 in equity in this house, so you'd have a mortgage for $140,000. Would you be able to cover that mortgage if there was no renter for a period of time on the other side of that duplex?
Yes.
What income sources do you have in retirement?
I got about $150,000 in IRAs at one job that I retired from, and okay. I'm currently working for the federal government, and I'm trying to give them 10 years. I've been there five so far. I don't know what I will get from there. I know what I contribute. I contribute 15%.
Okay. Do you know what the balance is right now in that retirement account?
I don't.
Okay.
I really don't.
All right. Well, I think that's the key, is really having a good idea. I mean, we're talking potentially 5 years out or more before you get to retirement, assuming you're trying to stay there for at least 10, right? So I think the key is, you know, that based on today's income, you should be able to cover the mortgage, which would be, you know, a little bit more expensive than, you know, what you have now. You have an $82,000 mortgage right now. We're talking about increasing that to from $82,000 to $140,000. Now, you'd be doing that at a lower interest rate, hopefully, but it would give you a nice down payment. And as long as you could cash flow that, and we use as a rule of thumb 25%. So the principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, if it's less than 25% of your take-home pay, then you're in good shape. Now, the good news is, if you can cover 100% of that mortgage without any renter, then obviously every month you have a renter in there, you know, you're in much better position. You'd be that help you pay it off much quicker. And once it's paid off, would give you a nice income stream in retirement. The second question is, are you ready to be a landlord? Do you have any experience in this? Have you talked to folks who have done it? And do you kind of understand what it takes? Or you, do you feel like you have the you know, ability and know-how to either, you know, maintain the property or get people in there that can do that? And do you have some reserves so that if there was a major repair or expense that you needed to cover, again, now it's not just you you're looking out for. You have to make sure that you keep this in good working order on behalf of your tenant, which means you need to be a little bit more timely in dealing with issues. And you may need to get a, you know, a plumber out there in the middle of the night. And so, you know, do you have any reserves to fall back on, you know, that are outside of these retirement accounts?
I have about 25 grand in a, sitting in the bank.
Okay. And that's your emergency fund. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And what is your, what is your take home pay every month, roughly?
I make about $54,000 a year with no overtime.
Okay, so you've got about 6 months worth of expenses in the bank, which is great. Maybe a little bit more than 6 months, so that's good. So I think I would just count the cost and really understand how much more you're going to have each month in the form of a you know, mortgage payment. I would also start looking out to retirement to say, what can I expect if I work 10 years in my retirement account? And beyond that, what could this 150 grow to and generate an income? And would I still be okay? And as long as you feel good about all of that and you're willing to take on this role of landlord, then I think you should be in good shape. Charnay.
Oh, thank you.
All right. We appreciate
you,
it. Yes, sir.
Thanks.
Yes, ma'am.
God bless. Well, I hope she has an opportunity to work through that, think through that. Lots of numbers there. Sounds like she's in pretty good shape, but being a landlord is not anything you want to enter into quickly and without all the details. All right, 800-525-7000, Brandon, Florida. Is it Brandon, Michelle, or is it Bradenton? Help me out here.
It's Brandon.
It's Brandon. Okay. And what's
Happy
your
New
question?
Year.
Happy New Year to you. I understand your kids want to do something creative with their Christmas money. What's going on there?
Yes. I have twins. They just turned 13 5 days after Christmas. So Christmas and,
great.
You know, right there together. And, you know, they are so blessed. And I just have to tell you, just honestly, just blessed. And they got so much stuff. It's like, Mom, what do we do with our presents? And I'm like, okay, you can give your stuff away. They get gift cards, they get cash. And so my oldest son, he lives in California. I'm retired Air Force, 26 years. So I'm like, okay, you know, what do you do? And he used to be in the Air Force as well. So he says, Mom, let's get them to invest in Netflix. And of course, I know nothing about this. And, you know, their college is paid for. And we just have money. And, you know, people want them to buy toys. I'm like, look, they have all the toys they could ever get. They don't even want toys. So I want them, you know, you got gift cards and you got cash. Gift cards, gift certificates, what can you do with them? I'm all ears. You know, and cash, what do you do? They have a savings account as well. So they are taught 10% every month or whatever.
Well, this is great. I mean, I love that this is the way you're guiding and leading them, Michelle, and this is exactly the way you should be talking to them. I think the first idea is you want to teach them God's perspective of money, that he owns it all and that they're the managers or stewards of what he's entrusted to them. That means they're taking on a pretty big responsibility as God's money manager. Second is modeling is everything. You want to model the right behaviors, living within your means, living simply, living with a spending plan, recognizing that with limited resources, it's all about priorities. I think beyond that, you want to teach give, save, spend in terms of that when money comes in, there's a portion we should give away right off the top. You've done that. There's a portion we should save for the future, and then there's a portion we should spend. Now, with excess, I like the idea of teaching about investing. So if you'll hold the line when we come back, I'll tell you how you can get them started in that too.
We'll do that, Michelle. You hang on. More Money Wise after this.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Many people are experiencing financial challenges, such as credit card debt, downsizing, dead-end jobs, and depleted savings. In fact, more than half of all divorces are the result of financial pressures at home. But there's hope. In Your Money Counts, biblical financial expert Howard Dayton shows that the Bible is a veritable blueprint for managing your finances, and you'll discover the profound impact it has on your relationship with God. Your Money Counts is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. You know, people rarely come to the Lord in one conversation. When I first learned that sharing my faith is not an option, I did everything wrong that I could do wrong and still had good results. My biggest mistake and biggest frustration was thinking I failed every time the discussion ended without a decision. I'd get upset with myself, even God, and even with the person I was trying to lead to the Lord. How bad is that? Until I learned God's timing, which is not our timing. Everyone's on a spiritual journey, and only God knows where any individual is on that journey. This is where our sensitivity to the Holy Spirit is so precious. The Holy Spirit is always there before us, ready to use our willing hearts to change the hearts of others. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone every day closer to Jesus. For help doing that, go to ROTW.com.
After the success of her first two books, Heather Holloman received many requests to write a Bible study. And as a college English instructor, she wanted to make sure it really taught and didn't simply inform. The result? Included in Christ, a narrative-driven study where you can bring your life before Scripture in the context of community. Included in Christ. Honest. Real. Bold. More at moodypublishers.com.
How do you raise godly children in a godless world? Kids who love God, respect authority, and value what's right. Arlene Pellicain can help you do just that in her book, Parents Rising. This book is about growth, not guilt. It's not a pep talk or a try harder speech. Parents Rising offers real help for real problems that every parent faces. Parents Rising. Check it out at moodypublishers.com.
Hey, we're talking with Michelle. She's calling us from Brandon, Florida. Apparently, her children got full stockings for Christmas. They've got lots of stuff, not quite sure what to do with the money side of things, right?
Yeah, Michelle, so beyond really modeling the right behaviors, teaching them about God's principles of managing money, and really implanting this idea of give, save, spend, and the idea of limited resources, you know, if you want to get them started with investing, I like that idea. I'm a little hesitant, though, to go into individual stocks. You know, it's possible today, whereas it hasn't been in the past through something called fractional shares. So whether you use an app like Stockpile or you use something like the Robinhood, investment accounts, you can go in and buy a share of a stock that previously would have been unobtainable because of the price. I mean, you know, a single share of a high-flying tech stock, I won't name specific ones, could be several thousand dollars. But through fractional shares, you can go in and buy a very small percentage of one share and basically get started with very little money. The problem with that is we're not teaching the principle of diversification. And so you're all at the risk of one particular company. So although it's fun to kind of get them involved in researching and following a company and, you know, having some vested interest when, you know, if it's a brick and mortar operation, when you drive by them and you see that company, you know, hey, I'm invested in that. I'm glad the drive-thru is full, you know, that kind of thing. There's some lessons that can be taught there, but I don't like the idea that we're not teaching to be properly diversified. So I think what would be better is to open an account in your name, but earmarked for them, where you begin to do some either index investing, like buying them the S&P 500, where they can follow the overall move of the market, but you're teaching them the importance of not having all of your eggs in one basket. You mentioned, you know, a Netflix, I think, to my producer as something they would be interested in investing in. And although, you know, that gets a lot of press right now, and there's a lot of reasons not to be invested in Netflix. One of those is just simply, the issue related to a particular program they had that was just awful that resulted in a surge of cancellations because they were just dealing with subject matter they never should have dealt with, not to mention a lot of the other programs, shows, and movies that are on Netflix. So I think we've got to think about that side of it too. In addition to index investing, the other option, Michelle, is to begin to teach them about faith-based investing. So get them to look at a mutual fund like one offered by Eventide or an ETF from Inspire, where they're investing in companies that make the world rejoice and really are having a social and a kingdom impact as a result of their investments, but also with a great return on investment at the same time. So if I were you, I would either looking at index investing through something like Betterment or the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios, or if you want to introduce them in faith-based investing, I'd check out our friends at Inspire Funds or eventidefunds.com to get more information. And I hope that's helpful to you.
Michelle, God bless you and your children as you move forward on this. Thanks so much. Anne in Missouri, what's your question today for Rob West?
Yes, hi. Hi. You're hearing me okay, correct?
Perfect.
Yes. My name is Anne, and mm-hmm. I'm inquiring of the lady before me kind of answered the question a little bit. Because I, too, am looking to invest in something that we can get a return, that I can get a return on my investment. I am retired now, but in this retirement, I didn't get any retirement check for my job. And so, but I do have a little bit of money, and I wanted to be able to use it in a way that it could give me a return on it. I wanted to invest in something. Also, the second part of my question, I've been hearing a lot about Bitcoin, and I'm wondering if you are familiar with Bitcoin and what it is and how it works.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's deal with the first part first here. And you asked specifically about investing in retirement. Talk to me about how much per month you have as a surplus that you're looking to put to work. And, what the purpose of it is in terms of when you might want to be able to access it.
Well, actually, it's not monthly income. It's just some income. It's just something that I came into.
Okay. All right. Roughly how much are we talking about?
About $25,000.
Okay. Have your income sources covered so your bills are met in retirement?
Yes.
All right. And what are your income sources? Social Security and what else?
Yes. Social Security. I take care of my daughter and mother.
Okay. All right. Very good. And then do you have, outside of this $25,000 you came into, do you have any emergency reserves?
Just about $8,000.
Okay. And what are your monthly expenses each month, roughly?
Oh, basic. Everything is paid, just my basic rent, which is like $850, and then whatever the utilities are for the month.
Okay. Do you think all in, everything you're spending is maybe $2,000 a month?
No.
Not even that much?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Nowhere
very
near.
Good. All right. So you've got a guaranteed income source with Social Security, plus you're caring for some family members, and that's helping to either offset expenses or bring in some additional income. You've got $8,000 in savings, and so that would be equivalent to, you know, perhaps 6 months worth of expenses, maybe less, maybe five. So you've got a good little buffer there, and you want to know what to do with this $25,000. You know, if as long as you feel like you could leave this money for at least 5 years, preferably 10, then I would say you could start to dollar cost average it into the market. But I would, again, be very well diversified. I'd be looking at a high quality mutual fund or an index fund. So you could look at Betterment or the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios, which would go through a series of questions and answers, and based on your risk tolerance, your age, and objectives, they would help you put together a very low cost, very highly diversified portfolio of stocks and bonds that would then just move with the market over time. And you wouldn't be looking to make a bunch of money in 1, 6, or 12 months. You'd be looking at a 10-year period where over time you should, you know, average 7% plus, you know, if the history repeats itself, which it always has. And that would be a good thing because you can't get that anywhere else. Now, realize that at any point along the way, depending on how much you have in stocks, you could hit a bump in the road and see anywhere from a 10 to a, if you were fully invested in stocks, a 35% decline. That's what we experienced last year with the pandemic. But again, as long as you're not selling and you're letting it ride out and you're waiting for the market to rebound, which it always has, then you let it move to higher ground. You don't react emotionally. That would be, I think, the best approach in terms of where you're going from here. I wouldn't try to pick individual stocks. There's just too much risk when you're highly concentrated. And that's where I'll finish today with Bitcoin. I would just say, you know, it's getting a lot of press because it's been on a tear on the upside, but it hit a big bump in the road in the last 5 days where it went from $40,000 per dollar down to $35,000. So that's a $5,000 decline, which I have no idea whether it's going down from here or up from here. It doesn't matter. There's just too much volatility in it. I'd stay away from it as an investment. The technology behind it's not going anywhere as we get more and more digital and global in our economy and our currencies.
And thank you for your call today. We appreciate that. Rachel in Sarasota, we have just a couple of minutes. Can we be quick about this, please?
Wonderful. I hope so. Right. Thank you for taking my call. So my husband and I, we are 31, and we have paid off all of our personal debt and have saved up a down payment on a home. We're toying with the idea of paying full price for the home, you know, putting cash 100% down for a home. Wow. Just kind of trying to see your thoughts if that's unwise or if you see any downfall to that. We would, you know, we're putting our retirement on hold, putting into retirement for this purchase. So we're just trying to figure out where there might be holes that we're not seeing or, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Well, there's two sides of this, Rachel. First of all, congratulations. You guys are young. You're doing this right. You're making some really wise decisions, and I appreciate how thoughtful you've been in even this particular decision. I want to press into that retirement conversation just for a second. Mm-hmm. So tell me what this looks like. How much do you have saved up, and how far do you have to go to buy the whole thing with cash?
Yeah, so we have about $35,000 to $40,000,
okay,
roughly after this month, and we are hoping to hit $225,000 total. And so we're probably about 3 years out, I think, is where we've done a cost analysis and timeline. Yeah. That's where we're at.
So basically what I'm hearing is if you didn't put anything in retirement and you just saved like crazy for the house, mm-hmm, then in 3 years you could buy it for cash.
Yes, that's the hope.
All right. And do you, as you all think and pray about this, do you have a real conviction from the Lord that you, that he's asking you to be debt free completely?
you know, I think that's kind of the point we're at. We're not sure. We haven't heard clearly either way. We worked so hard to get out of debt the first time. We just got out of, you know, about $75,000 of debt. And so we kind of just feel that weight almost still paying rent.
Well,
and,
I could even hear it in your voice. I could hear it in your voice a little bit when you said, you know, we're debt free. And there was kind of a, you know, an excitement in your voice. So I can understand getting back into debt, especially a large debt like a mortgage, you know, may be something you're just not comfortable with. If you feel like, and I would encourage you guys to not do anything right now and just continue to pray about this. If you feel like the Lord is leading you to be debt free, then do it. And don't worry about anything else. Apart from that, I would say, just from a pure financial standpoint, I would say I'd rather you start systematically funding retirement. As long as you don't take on too much mortgage that you can't afford, I'd rather you get the mortgage and compound that money in a tax-deferred account for your future, unless the Lord is just closing that door. Unfortunately, we're up against a break, so let's talk more off the air, but I appreciate your call today.
MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. God bless. Thanks for listening.